I didn't even know I was applying for a grave digging job when I saw this landscaping job. I, you know, dressed up and got it all ready for an interview, and I show up at the address and it's just a graveyard. For the most part, it was just a really amazing job. I mean, you're hanging out in this beautiful space. It's a private graveyard. Not that many people died at the end of the week, so most of the time was spent just kind of hanging out, reading, contemplating. It was a lot less morbid than I would have thought it would be. Like, you'd think working around death like that would be something, I guess, somehow inherently negative, but it was really, really life-affirming in a lot of senses, because you get to really see people's rituals when it comes to that. It was really weird at first. I mean, the first time we had a burial, it was obviously really intense, because, when you're putting someone in the ground, you have to stay there, essentially, until the funeral's over to, put the person in the ground, and so you're in very close proximity to entire groups of friends and families that are mourning, and you don't really have any connection to that person, but, humans being what they are, you tend to take on a lot of that emotion, but, yeah, it was really strange, there was so many sides to it, and I never saw two funerals be the same. Some of them, no one talked. I remember one in particular, literally the entire eulogy was just people cracking jokes about what a, jackass this person was, and so it was interesting to see people's different mourning processes.
So what I did, it was kind of this quasi-funeral for a relationship that I have with somebody that couldn't continue. Even when I say it's like a funeral, it wasn't a funeral per se, because it's about, like, funerals are about when someone dies. Like, part of what it was mourning the end of this relationship is that with this person, there could always be another relationship. And so I did it, I thought, close to the spring equinox. I contacted a few of my friends. I was relying on trusting my friends to kind of go where I was trying to go with them on this weird, made up thing. I saw them, they were walking right to the place when I got there. I waved to them and I went over and hugged both of them. I think I was feeling pretty sad and nervous. And we started walking into this forest, and just as this happened, it is when the snow began to come down, kind of just frosting the forest. At the same time, there were clouds just above us, but the sunlight was coming in beautifully and the clouds were like pink and purple and blue, and it was lovely.
Actually, probably the weirdest thing that's ever happened in my life happened from grave digging. It started, I guess, about 3 years before my first summer as a grave digger. It was my first year of university, and we would get snow from this arena. That they'd shaved off the ice and go set it up to go snowboarding and hit, like, handrails and whatnot. And this one night we're all hitting this handrail and we're passing around, like, a bottle of whiskey. There's about five or six of us or whatever. And this fellow comes out of the woodwork really, really inebriated. We'll call him John Smith. And so John starts, yelling obscenities at us and just being overly aggressive and whatnot, and at one point he demands that we give him our whiskey, and we said no. He whips out what I think was an X-Acto knife, but it starts waving it around and just being unpleasant. But one of him and six of us, so we weren't too concerned. And he ends up just sitting down on the hill, and he keeps on yelling his name at us. He's, I'm John Smith. I'm gonna get you back. I'll show you. Like, I own this town. You don't know. And kept on saying that he was going to get me back, and he's like, yeah, whatever, dude. And eventually he just gets up and wanders off into the night. And didn't think about it for years. And then I was at the graveyard. It was like, I think my first year working there. And a mother wanted her son's grave exhumed and moved away from the road, because the graveyard was right by a highway. And so we dug it up, got him out of the ground. And as we were, well, there's two kinds of coffins. There's the inner coffin, which is what you think of as a coffin. And there's the outer coffin, which is just sort of plywood they put around the grave to keep it from caving in. And as we're lowering this fellow back into the new gravesite, the lid of the inner coffin gets caught on the outer coffin. And for a very short period of time, but felt like years, it flew open. And so I'm just like face to face with this dude that's been in the ground for, you know, 3 years. And all of the little critters that were making his coffin a home, and a little bit of his hand fell off onto my foot. And I make the terrible mistake when I throw it back in of slamming the coffin shut. So, of course, all of the air and the smell goes straight into my mouth and lungs, and I just, like, have to run to the woods, and I'm just puking my guts out. To this day, I can't smell rotting meat without instantly getting sick. But after a good, like, 20 minutes of, like, puking and just, like, freaking out, I'd, you know, obviously never seen a body in that state. And I get back, and I finally, like, calm myself down. I come back out, and as they were lowering down the gravestone, it was the fellow that tried to take our whiskey 3 years earlier. He had died shortly after I met him, so he did get me back.
I went down to St. James Infirmary. Saw my baby there. She was stretched out on a long white table. So cold, so sweet, so fair. Let her go, let her go. God bless her. Wherever she may be, she can look this wide world over. But she'll never find a sweet man like me.
Bragging.
It was not quite towards sunset, but we were getting close to there. And we're walking through the forest and looking for a good place to stop and do it. So we found this place, a dead tree that had fallen. Underneath this tree, under the overhang, under the log, there was a good depth of rich earth. It was still not very deep, but it was deep enough to put in this tiny box. After reading a few tableaux sort of memories, I folded up the paper and put it inside of the box and put the lid on, gathered the dirt back over it, and sort of patted it down, and then took a bottle of wine and poured out some of it. I'd gone through some of my worst experiences when I was reading those memories. Doing this ritual was important because it was kind of like, it was a way of gathering these memories and a chance to put this into a meaningful setting and have that heard. Even though we were in this little depression, it was darker. After a few minutes, everything was awash with this golden light from the sun that was getting close to the horizon. I felt very vulnerable. I felt exposed, but not in a bad way, in a way that helped me to feel love and what one of my friends told me is that I looked much more joyful than when they'd first met me when we went into the forest. I think I even had a big grin at one point.
One of the things that was moving, I guess, for me about the job is that, you know, there's always someone that stays behind after the funeral. And I always sort of privately felt that the ritual reason for that, you know, is generally someone that didn't have that closure yet. And the rituals that were sort of standard, they didn't work for them. You know, they had to have their own rituals. And a lot of the times that would be talking with us. I think the best thing for me at the time that I was a grave digger, a few of my family members, my grandparents passed away, and I wasn't able to be there for the funerals. And that was something that was really, really tough, because, you know, I think you have to have that sort of sense of closure. And when you can't be there at the funeral, there's no really, it's not really a way to gain that. And I remember a week after that happened, there was a woman that we were burying. And she had no living family, and all of her friends were in the nursing home. They had had a ceremony there, but it was this kind of thing where, you know, no one was at her funeral. You know, the state of mind I was in, it was just, like, really intense. And we kind of did our own funeral and paid our respects in our own way, because we felt like, you know, that ritual had to be done in some respect or another. But after everyone else left, I just kind of stayed there for a while and was able to sort of have that closure for my own relatives dying just by going through that ritual, even though I didn't know this woman. I'd never met her before. I didn't even know her name. But it was really cool to sort of have that perspective on death and have that ability to sort of find rituals as someone who's not religious. Any opportunity to sort of see that was really interesting.